This work was actually done by my student, Yunus, who's right now doing an internship at Intel, so I get to come to Prague while he's working. So the basic idea here was that we all know that voltage scaling helps in reducing the energy consumption. But when you voltage scale aggressively, you also introduce errors into the system. Those errors can be in the data path, those errors can be in the memory. The question is, can you compensate for the errors, all the errors that you introduced because of voltage overscaling? And you want to compensate for the errors, not by using standard ECCs or something, but we want to compensate using algorithm-specific techniques, so that way the overhead would be small. So that's the intention here. So there are several low-energy codecs. On the left-hand, see if I can get it to work. Okay, so here you have low-energy, low-quality, and you could have high-energy, high-quality. What we were trying to see is whether we could get high-quality with medium energy or low energy possible. A couple of slides with the background. So the source of errors in the memories that we were looking at, so these were all six transistor SRAM cells, primarily due to VTH variations, mismatches of the different cells in an SRAM, and the whole modeling was done with respect to random dopant fluctuation, RDF, on the VTH. So what happens here is that the threshold, as the threshold, with technology scaling, the threshold voltage variation increases, and that's shown over here on the right with sigma VT. So these are for a 32 nanometer six transistor SRAM cells for different voltage levels. So instead of the nominal of 0.9, if I drop down to 0.75, I can get a 10 minus 4 bit error rate. I become more greedy and more aggressive when I go down to about 0.68 volt operation. You can go up, the bit error rate increases spectacularly to 10 minus 3. In most of my presentation, I'll be operating on either 10 minus 4 or 10 minus 5. Or 10 minus 3, sorry. So from 0.9 volts at 32, you're dropping down to 0.75. Some of our synthesis results are for 45 nanometers, where we actually go down from nominal voltage of 1 volts to about 0.8 volts. Now, at the data path again, let's say I used a 12-bit adder for my discrete cosine transform. These are all the transform computations are done with shifts, hardwired shifts and adds. The model that is used over here is as follows. So TFA is the nominal delay of a full adder. So these are all, we got all of these results by actual synthesis. T systematic is the delay due to systematic variation of the order of 5 picoseconds, if this is about 35 at 0.9 volts to 1 volt. This is a delay due to random variation, and you have a sigma FA, which is the variance of TR. Now, if I'm looking at any one of these positions up here, there are all of these critical paths that go over here. In a minute, I will show you how we calculate the probability of errors by summing up the effect of an error in each of these paths. So I will calculate the error in this position, calculate the error in this position, and so on. So basically, if I have a delay of a carry chain that starts from one full adder and ends in another full adder, it can be represented in this particular form. So T chain, it doesn't matter where it starts as long as the length of the chain is the same. Depends upon these values, which are obtained by simulations and then actually circuit simulations, and then these values as well. So the delay from 1 to 10 is the same. The assumption here is that the delay from 1 to 10 is the same as the delay from 2 to 11. Continuing on with the data path failure model, so here is a plot that shows the error probability, function of voltage levels, and the bit position. So this is for if I had a critical path of 400 picoseconds in this particular case. So you can see that you will get a lot of the errors over here in the most significant bit positions obviously increase significantly as my voltage levels go down. And in the LSBs, they're pretty much fairly flat, which means that I could get away with a lot. This is a PDF of errors for bit error rate 10 minus 4. Like I said, most of the time we kind of focus on that. I wish I had more colors here. Anyways, the data path error goes like this. So this is MSP position. So this is your LSP. This is your MSP. The memory error is fairly constant over here, and I'll tell you in a bit what those add up to. And this is your overall error, which is the combination. I'm jumping ahead a little bit over here. The actual thing, that plot came from a baseline JPEG implementation where this is a two-dimensional DCT block. If I have an error during row computations, those errors get propagated in the column. But otherwise, we assume that the data path errors and the memory errors are independent. So the whole thing was implemented. So you have, the, it was not, this is not a full chip implementation. Only parts of this were implemented in hardware. Rest of it is all based on simulations. Now, how do we compensate for the errors? What are the algorithm-specific techniques that you look at? A couple of things that I want to show here. One is the magnitude of coefficients with respect to the quality metric Q. So high Q means good quality. If you notice that for these AC coefficients, so we're looking at a zigzag scan for 2D DCT, so you have the DC coefficient, the next one is AC1, the one diagonal from that is AC2, and so on. So you're doing a zigzag scan over here. Notice that many of these coefficients, independent of the value of Q, have a very small value. Not only that, they also are very close to each other. This is one point to note. Second point to note is this particular plot that shows across 20 blocks, and this is over DC, so this is your DC, this is your 63rd AC coefficient. The magnitude of the DC coefficient varies significantly from block to block. But if you look at this whole place, it's almost the same. There are a few things that are a little bit different. So you see one more thing is that the AC coefficients representing the same frequency at neighboring blocks have similar values. So they are similar around the same block, they're similar across the blocks. And the other thing, of course, is that their magnitude is very small up here for the high AC coefficients. That's why we have the whole quantization matrix that drops everybody. Okay, so now there are errors in the system. How are you going to detect errors? We're going to detect errors based on those three things up there. First, what we did is we kind of assume that you would have an 8-bit representation. So if I have a higher Q, that means higher quality over here. So for higher quality, group 1 consists of DC to AC15, group 2 consists of AC16 to the next 16 coefficients and so on. So that's how you broke up the 64 coefficients. So you can see that group 4, which is the higher AC coefficients, you could do with very few number of bits. And this is something that has been used in designing low-power DCT chips by others. There was work in 10, 11 years ago by Chandra Kassan and one of his students at MIT where they dropped the number of coefficients play tricks, the follow-up work, a slightly different method from Kaushik Roy's group at Purdue where because they did A6, they essentially played with the number of bits at each level. We are not doing that. We're assuming that you have or you bought somebody else's DCT chip, so everything is done. You're looking at the output of that, and you're going to be playing tricks on that. So the first technique, very, very simple. It detects errors that occur in the sign extension bits of coefficients. So for instance, if I were in group 2, and so I basically, after the quantization, I only have 5 bits. I have 3 bits of sign extension. So if those 3 bits are not the same, I know that there is a problem. So it detects, and then you just, you know, you can pick the 3 bits from the sign extension bits to find the correct ones. If you have more, then you do more. Of course, this is applicable only to the top couple of lines. The second is that coefficients that are adjacent to each other have similar magnitudes. They could be adjacent in the same block, 2 frequencies, or same frequency, 2 blocks. So essentially what you're doing is you're detecting an error when there's an abnormal increase in magnitude in one of the coefficients. So you just search for these couple of things around it, and then if they are different, you know that there is an error. Now, all of that combats most of the errors, okay, because your data path errors are dominant in this particular case. But then you do have some errors for the lower order bits. That happens during the dequantization phase in the decoder. You know, you send things with a few number of bits, but then you have to scale them up and so on and in the decoder level. So here the processing is a little bit different. You're going to check neighbors of the current bit, and then so you look at neighboring blocks of the same frequency and same blocks neighboring frequencies, and then the hardware overhead for this is a little bit more. The simulation setup, we are doing everything with respect to baseline JPEG, all the performances, PSNR versus compression rate. The results I will show you here are for these four images, but since then UNIS has has done the same thing for other images itself. The trends are pretty much the same, but I will only show you the stuff for these four because those are the four that were in the paper. Hardware performance. The hardware results that I'm going to show you here are just for the overhead part. In other words, we did not implement the whole baseline JPEG. All that was implemented in hardware is just the overhead to detect the errors. They were done using design compiler from Synopsys and synthesized using 45 nanometer using NAND gate library. Okay, so these are... messed up fonts. Anyways, so this is the simulation results, one for the bridge image. The others are very similar, and I'll summarize that for you. So here, so we're looking PSNR with the compression rate bits per pixel. So notice that on this very bottom, let's start from the top. This is your error-free for the bridge image. Okay, so this is how the curve should have looked like. And this is if you didn't do, there were errors in the system and you didn't do it, and this is your no correction. So our methods will allow you to operate up here. Okay, so at about 0.75 bits per pixel, which is a pretty common comparison point, you are 1.5 dB less than if you had no errors, and you are 4 dB better than if you didn't do anything. And how much is the power gains for this? You're looking at about rough estimate would be, I would say, if I assume that everything in a baseline JPEG, the ones that we're looking at, which is DCT and quantization before the entropy corder, looking about 60 to 70% of the power consumption. And with this drop from about 1 volt to about 0.8 volts, you're getting about 30% reduction. This is for bit error rate 10-3, which is more aggressive. So you have scaled the voltage significantly, but you are way off compared to. So this is the algorithm-specific technique that I talked about. You're 4 dB below at 0.75 bits per pixel. You're about 4 dB below what the norm error. A graph would be, and you are 9 dB better than if you had not done anything and just scaled the voltage. These are just for 10-4, we kind of mostly focused on that. I thought 10-3 was way too aggressive, but yeah, bit error rate of 10-4, 0.75 bits per pixel. So you achieve a little bit more than a 4 dB improvement. On average, reduction is about 1.8 dB from the best case. The circuitry overhead, it's actually very small. I mean, this is the step one only needed a majority voter for 3 bits. It's not a big deal. Second one was just a coefficient comparator, which is probably one of the higher ones, and this is the magnitude correction unit that you needed for step 3. Like I said, this is just the overhead of those. This is just the circuitry overhead of the 3 methods. We did not implement the whole baseline JPEG. So to conclude, so the proposed algorithm-specific techniques essentially exploit the characteristics of the quantized coefficient. So this is something that will work for JPEG, and we had other work that was along the same lines for other image and video codecs. The fact that the coefficients are correlated, whether it's DCT or in wavelet transforms in some cases, that help in reducing the number of, either reducing the number of bits that you require or correcting errors if there are errors in the system that are introduced, whether it's for memory or whether it's in the data path. And you know, the technique improves the PSNR performance, like I said, by about 4 dB compared to the no correction case with a degradation of less than 2 dB compared to the error-free case. So that concludes my talk. I'd like to take some questions now.
Any questions from the audience?
Yes.
Errors happen in the shift and add circuitry. So would it be possible to have the errors also in your compensation logic?
The delay, the critical path delay is so incredibly small here that at the voltages that I'm operating on. So when these results work, it's the same operating voltage. So let's say my operating voltage was at 0.85 or 0.7 volts. Not for voltage overscaling, for sure. I mean, the errors come for something else, then there would be errors in the other system as well. But here the critical path is a fraction. They're very small units. Critical path is a very small fraction, so you will get, you won't have those kind of errors.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Professor Changabari.